Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our message today is from John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness of any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So far the text. So growing up as a pastor's kid, there were two things about me that really made Sunday school teachers kind of uncomfortable having me as a student. Number one, I was really annoying. And number two, I had perfect attendance. Okay, so there was no avoiding me. And the third thing is I had lots and lots of questions. And I remember questioning this text. And I wasn't questioning what happened or whether it happened or not. My question for this text was, well, where was Jesus for 8 days? What was he doing? Where did he go? And the teacher responded in the way she often did. She said, "Well, if you were Jesus, what would you have done?" And I said, "Well, first thing, I'm going to fly, of course, right? And then after that, I'm just going to track down, you know, the chief priests and Pontius Pilate and just say, boo, you know, and just scare him and stuff like that and really let them know that I'm not too thrilled with him." And the teacher said to the class, "Well, I guess we can all be grateful that Ted's not Jesus." And I had to agree. And yet when I got home, I asked my dad, right? He's the pastor. He had to know. I said, "So what was Jesus doing for 8 days?" And he said, "Well, who said he was doing anything?" And I said, "Well, he had to be gone because, you know, he came. Remember, he walked through the wall and appeared to the disciples or walked through the door." And he says, "Who says it? He walked through the door or the wall?" That's when he made a very important point to me, which he made many times. And that is, you know, you really need to read the Bible itself. Okay? And so we read through this passage. And sure enough, it doesn't say he went anywhere. And it doesn't say he walked through the wall. And Jesus, and basically my dad said, well, in other words, Jesus was there the whole time. A little later he's going to say to his disciples, "I am with you always even to the end of the world." He doesn't say, "I'm with you always even to the end of the world," starting right now. He was there the whole time. They just couldn't see him. That's the case with this text, clearly in that respect. It's also the case in another way, because this is known as Doubting Thomas Sunday. And really, I don't think it should be, because the word doubt never actually appears in this gospel. Now, you can find translations where Jesus says, "Don't doubt, but believe." You can, but it's not really the Greek word for doubt. That's a very specific word, very common word, that I guarantee you the Apostle John knew. And he would have used it if it was what Jesus had said. But Jesus says, you know, don't be disbelieving, be believing. I think Thomas had faith. It's just a faith that was dependent on some contingencies, right? Some conditions. Number one, he wants to see the holes in his hands. Number two, he wants to stick a finger in the holes of his hands. Number three, he wants to stick his hand into his side. And having faith with conditions is not really having a living faith. I've told this story before. You probably heard it otherwise, even if you haven't heard it from me. But it kind of touches on this. It's a story of a mother that's cooking, really busy, and says to her, like, 8-year-old son, you know, "Go down in the cellar and get me a jar of peaches." And he goes, I don't want to go down there. It's all dark and spooky. It's all spidery. I don't want to go in there. She goes, oh, it's fine. Nothing, you know, nothing is in the darkness that's not in the light. And he goes, how does that help? Right? And so finally he goes, she says to him, well, do you believe Jesus is everywhere? And he goes, yes. He goes, well, she said, then he's in the cellar. Go get the peaches. Well, can't argue with that. So, you know, the kid went downstairs slowly and went up to the door and opened the creaky door. And he stuck his head in the darkness and he said, Jesus, if you're in there, could you hand me the peaches? Right? Now that's someone who has faith, okay, but is not really living. We tend to do the same thing. It's interesting, when you look at this entire text, you see Jesus risen from the dead, and then you see people's initial reaction to that, especially in the Gospel of John. So you see Mary Magdalene, she's frustrated because someone has stolen the body, she thinks. Peter goes into the tomb, and he is confused because Jesus isn't there. It says John goes into the tomb and says he believes. And then later that evening, as we heard in our text, when these 10 disciples are together without Thomas, Jesus appears to them, gives them peace, and it says they're glad because they saw the Lord. But Thomas isn't there. And when Thomas shows up, he says, I don't believe you. And he actually has one really good reason not to believe them. This is what I would have said if I was Thomas. I would have said, so Jesus is risen from the dead, and you're all happy about that? And oh, absolutely. And I'd say, why'd I have to knock on the door? It's because the door was still locked. Why is the lock in the door if Jesus is alive? In fact, the door's going to be locked 8 days later, and they believe Jesus is alive. That's a good question. I don't know how the disciples would have answered that one. But he simply says, no, I don't believe. Okay? There are conditions. And it almost seems like his conditions are being met. Because on the eighth day, Jesus appears, and he goes, here are the holes in my hand, and here's the hole in my side. And then he believes. But does he believe because his conditions have been met? I don't think so. Because I can almost guarantee you that in that situation, Thomas never says he actually does stick his finger into his hands and hand into his side. At least I hope he didn't after seeing Jesus. Never says he did. He doesn't believe because the conditions have been met. He believes because of what Jesus has said. Jesus is God. And as God, when he speaks to Thomas, do not be disbelieving, but believing. This is God speaking God's word, and God's word transforms lives, and God's word gives him faith, a faith that is created that day. It's an amazing thing what happens in the Gospel of John, because now the disciples, the other 10 who said they were glad because they saw the Lord, now what does Thomas say? Simply, my Lord and my God. And at that instant, the entire Gospel of John comes full circle. It ends just like it began. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. In chapter 1 and 2, it talks about how people responded to that. Many don't believe, but it says, but those who do believe were given the right to be called children of God. And now Thomas sees Jesus, knows he's God, and calls him such. And now he's a child of God too. And this is how we approach this text and this Easter. Not with conditions, but with faith. With a faith that is created by God's word. It's a faith not dependent on historical or physical evidence. Those would all be nice, but it's not necessary. It's created by God's word. And it's a faith that doesn't make us children of God. Jesus makes us children of God. The faith he gives us helps us understand what that means. Because Christ is living, our sins are forgiven. Because Christ is living, he will always be with us until the end of the age. And it's because Christ is living, a heavenly home has been created for every one of us. At the end of this text, Jesus speaks about us. Not about the disciples, about us. He says, blessed are those who have never seen and yet believe. He's speaking about Christians over two millennia, including every Christian in here today. We are blessed because we've been given the faith to trust that our Savior is risen, is with us, and we will see him again. I pray that we live in that blessing and that the Lord gives us opportunity to share that blessing with others. In Jesus' name, amen.